This message was brought to you by Fortress Bank. Providing a banker's expertise with a business owner's perspective is what makes Fortress the business bank of choice. Find out more about their love of growing businesses at www.bankfortress.com. Welcome to the Fortify Your Finances podcast, where we talk to the best of the Midwest, entrepreneurs, innovators, and finance experts. My name is Elise Billany, a bank and finance marketer with a side hustle small business that was featured on ABC's Shark Tank. Each episode, you'll hear interviews with business owners as well as masters in fortifying your finances, with me, definitely not a master. You'll hear the real-life stories of Midwestern leaders and entrepreneurs and how they turn their goals into achievements. Thank you for joining me today. Now let's learn from the best on how to hashtag fortify your finances. In this edition of Success in Review, I will be joined by my co-host Keith Warner, commercial lending expert and all-around business advocate. We will be chatting with Troy and Jamie Lewis, owners of Heritage Landscape Design. Troy and Jamie started their company so that they could provide the best service possible to their customers. Now let's find out how Troy and Jamie dig up opportunities and build a good reputation.
Testing. 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 Testing.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. So tell us a little bit. First, why don't we just start with your like personal backgrounds? Where are you from? You know, all of those fun things.
You want to go first?
Yeah. You start.
All right. I went to born and raised in Moline, Des Moines High School, and then went to Western Illinois University. Oh. Got a degree in horticulture, and then after that,
horticulture,
cool. And then kind of minored in landscape architecture, mainly in the plant end of it. Always loved being around plants, just being outside, always intrigued me. So I used to have, like, when I, growing up, I used to have a, when I was 10, 11 years old, I had a lawn care business in our neighborhood. I probably
when you were 10?
10. I used to mow like 10, 12 wow. yards in our neighborhood, and I'd hire a couple of buddies to come help me. And that, so I, it's kind of.
Hired other 10-year-olds?
Yeah, I did. Honestly, I truly
did. Hey, guys.
Yeah. And I would just, it's just, I always love being outside. I would just, I'm one of those people, for me to sit behind a computer or be inside a desk all day, I would commit suicide. So there's no way I could do that. So it was always more of being outside. I always liked art, drawing things, kind of the creative end of it. So that kind of tied in with landscape in a way. So then went off to school and learned a little bit more about it.
Were you still doing like business or doing something while you were at school? Or was it just focused on the learning part?
No, I worked for the local, and out of Macomb, there's a local landscape company. So I would spend spring break. You know, most people went to Florida. Jamie and I were one of those poor ones growing up. And so we worked through spring break, and I worked, you know, for a solid week. It was like the best. And
well, you worked while you were
and I worked
going
while, I was, while I was going yeah. to school. I went to school, and I'd go there and work at the nursery, and I would do some design work for them on the side while I was at Western. So yeah,
you pretty much always in the kind of landscaping or lawn cutting business.
Yeah, not really the lawn cutting end of it, but I mean, well, early on, yes.
Really early.
But I'd like mulching stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, but Keith, yeah, that's yeah, always. You know, I've always wanted my dad and my uncle used to always, you know, love playing out in the yard and stuff like that. So it's kind of just in my blood. My mom and my mom's side grandmother always loved to garden and stuff. So it's, I think it's kind of in the blood a little bit, just enjoy the outdoors, and love seeing things grow. Sounds goofy, I know, corny, but I am a plant nerd. I'm telling you, I love plants and understanding growth habits and stuff like that, and designing them and playing. I always, you know, my kids always made fun of me. They come by at night, see me work at my desk at night. And, what are you doing, Dad? I went drawing circles. And circles represent plants, you know, on paper, you know. So that's kind of my story. And then came. We met through college, Jamie and I.
I went to UT, so yeah. We didn't know each other except for through sports. But then we met at Blackhawk.
Were you from around this area?
Yeah.
East Moline. So you went very close, but you didn't know each other.
No, not until we went to Blackhawk. We started at Blackhawk College together, and then I went to Northern after my first year at Blackhawk, and then he went to Western, and then back here. And whoever got the first job, so when we came back, and he got his first job back here.
Oh,
so then we decided to come back here and start working.
So what did you go to school for?
The degree was organizational corporate communications, basically marketing. You know, it was the liberal arts side of the marketing, you know, was kind of what I did. So when I came back, I started at Jewel. In their management training program.
Yep.
And actually, I could not have started the business without working at Jewel. Yet they really taught me a lot of things. I have zero accounting background whatsoever. So just a little bit of accounting that I had to do there, closing the week, doing things like that, started me there. And like I've always told my kids, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be the perfect job. It doesn't have to be your dream job. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn something from every job. And so I worked there. Then I worked at Lingua Systems. Then I worked at a computer company, Data One. And then from there, they went out of business. And I went to work with Premier Computer Services. And then starting there was really good because he started from scratch and I was his assistant. So it was basically he and I working together. So I learned how the kind of things you needed to start a business. So with each one of my jobs, we learned something different. And it's been
very helpful. How long did that progression take, Jamie? Like how many years out of college were you at?
10 years.
Okay.
10 years and a lot of different jobs. When I was at Lingua Systems, we did, I was able to do some human resources, you know, things like that, a little bit of HR, a little bit of marketing. And
you got exposed to a lot of different areas
that you could build upon. And when you had your own business, then you were able to build on
those. I was going
to
say, that's going to turn out to be a very practical experience.
It was very
helpful.
Yeah. It was awesome. So
especially because we've already learned Troy can't be in the office. So.
Yes.
Play in the dirt.
So take us back because we kind of skipped one side and then come back from college.
While Jamie was doing that, I spent 9 years at Suburban Landscape here locally. Working there was design sales manager. And then myself for the most part kind of I came to her and she loved this. I think she was pregnant with our second child with Ashley.
Just bought
a brand new house, 4 or 5 months pregnant. I remember walking with her and said, hey, I want to start our own business.
I quit today, actually.
And she quit. She quit.
He said, no, you said.
Oh, Dad, I came in. I said, I quit. Gave my letter of resignation. She goes, are you kidding me? She goes, look at me. I'm pregnant. And we kind of been talking about it a little bit because there's just different ways that, you know, that I wanted to service customers and just do things differently and that. And, you know, when you had several of my customers that I built over those 9 years come up to me and ask me time and time, hey, when are you going to go out and do this on your own? We'll go with you. You know, after you get that said to you many a times, sooner or later the bell goes off. You know, I mean, so.
Now, were you at, and I know you said it already, but were you at like more of a corporate style landscaping firm or?
They're a local landscape design build contractor, just like we are. Design it, install it, same type of contractor, same thing. Just had a different vision and culture within their company.
Okay.
And, you know, I was there for 9 years. Really couldn't go up any higher than the company where I was at. And I just didn't see myself at the age of 29, 30 years old at that time staying there the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I just had bigger goals. And we had, I think, bigger goals and aspirations. And I knew with my experience in that, all the experiences she gained, all the things that she just said, you know, and we had spent some time saving some money and putting some time away for maybe doing something like this. So, there's never a good time to start a business.
No. Yeah.
You can always come up with tons of reasons not to start a business.
Absolutely.
Never the right time. So I said it to her. I go, you know what? Great. You're pregnant. We just bought a house. Yeah. She said, well, can we wait till like Ashley's 2 years old? I go, but then there'll be another reason why we would start. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I said, no, we can make this work. I know we can because we're a great team together. My strengths are her weaknesses and her strengths are my weaknesses. So that was really, to me, that's what I loved about it. And, from that point on, we just quit and just...
I didn't quit at that point.
Yeah, you were still working. Yeah. It's kind of a backup insurance and that
insurance.
Stuff.
Insurance.
Yeah, insurance. Let's make sure this works. And I always said, if it didn't work, I said, hey, if it doesn't work, I can get a job with, another local landscape company in 2 seconds, maybe. But let's give it a shot. And I, not to sound arrogant, but I don't... Failure wasn't an option.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just wasn't in my mind. I just never thought of it saying, oh, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
It was always, hey, I'll work 24/7, do what we got to do. The phone rings on a Sunday at 1 o'clock. You get up from the table and you go answer the phone. Mm-hmm. And my office is our basement. So you have to have that mindset, I think, when you start a business. If you don't, I think you're asking for trouble.
Yeah. Did either of you have entrepreneurship or like family businesses in your lineage at all? Or no? So when was the light bulb, or did a mentor or anything at college where you're like, hey, I think I want to own my own business someday. Yeah.
I think that was your goal from this forever.
I think you always had it.
Yeah, it was, and it was more of. I don't like to be told what to do. some of it, I'll just say.
Yeah.
And I just have visions of how I like to maybe run things. And also, to me, by having your own business, you also have your own personal freedom. We can come and go as we please.
Yep.
And it was always very, very important to us, our family, and even for our employees, it's important that their family is first. Mm-hmm. And the business is second. But I mean, grandma's are close first and second there.
Yeah.
But our kids had a game, dance recital, whatever it was, you were there.
Gonna be there.
You never missed it. I mean, you never missed it. But you know what that meant? I mean, it means I might have to work from 8 to 11 o'clock at night, or work on Sunday morning while they're sleeping or taking a nap. So those are the things we were able to do when you're owning your own business. When you're working for someone, there was time constraints where they say, well, no, you need to be here. Mm-hmm. And like that. And that was the company I was at. There were certain things that, sometimes we had to miss. And I just didn't want to, I just didn't like that. And it was more important, too, is there was just different ways. And Jamie was a big part of this, of how the culture of the company, and not knocking where I used to work, it was a very good company, but just the different ways I wanted to take care of customers, treat customers, and respond to them, different ways to run the business.
Yeah.
Wanted the challenge.
Yeah.
Nothing too. You got your sports guy. I love competition. I love, I thrive on competition. Yep. Love competing. Yep. It's what keeps me going every day.
Yep.
It really is. I don't like to lose, but when I do, I want you to win.
It motivates you more.
It motivates you more.
That's
exactly. It's exactly it. And to this day, it's not going to change who I am. I don't care if I'm, 57 now, or if I'm 70, I'm going to be the same way.
Yeah. So you come home, say, hey, quit my job, we're going to start this business.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step look like? Did you have to, you need some equipment in this business, like you have to get financing, or what was the next
plan? You have to get an LLC. And my question too, just on top of that, is a lot of people, there's always different advice, right? Everybody has different advice on what they give. Some people say, keep doing what you're doing and do it on the side so that you're not, And then other people are like, you got to go all in. Now, I think some of it's based on personality and situation, obviously. There's no one blanket answer. But you obviously quit your job. Did you feel like if I don't quit today, I might not just do it. So I'm just going to quit and I'm going to do it. What was your thought there as well? And then
I think you got to be all in. I mean, either you're all in or you're not, it's not like, I'm going to kind of do this on the weekends.
Yeah.
Maybe some people want to do that. That's fine. But I think it was,
we started off where, there was another company that did the production side, but was not very good at the design aspect of it. So when we first started, he would do the design subcontract to the production. And then, Later on, so there wasn't a lot of equipment or anything needed when we first started.
You're doing mostly design work.
This was the design work.
Couple years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Doing that and designing and overseeing the project on top of it. And that's what we've always done too, which is we're project managers, not just the salespeople. So we're always on site with our and with the customer every day, showing them what we're doing and going directly that way. So we had the production people that we subcontract, and then we ended up going on our own and taking it all over. And at that time, we had, you know, gone towards that end. Yeah. But when we first started, I knew from working with Premier Computer Services, when we first started up, that a banking relationship is like one of the number one things you have to have to get started. You have to be able to have that banking relationship. So that was one of the first things I did. And because I had worked with the bank there, then I went directly to them and kind of worked from there. Mm-hmm. Started with a line of credit, and then it's kind of gone up, you know, from there, and credit card kind of started, you know, because we didn't need a whole lot of cash at first. We worked in the basement of our house and used his Jeep, and that was it. We didn't even get a truck. It was just like,
We didn't have a lot of overhead.
No, at first, we were the first couple of years more of a service type business. Yeah. You know, and we didn't have a lot of the overhead as far as plant mature like we do now, you know, full service nursery and tons of trucks and stuff. So it grew fast. I mean, it to the point where it was like, wow, you know, okay, we need help here. You know, it was the growing pains that a lot of companies have. Mm-hmm. And that was probably, you know, one of your questions, one of the biggest hurdles, that was, I think, it was, how do you grow?
Yeah.
You know?
Like how fast?
How fast do you grow?
How much capital do you want to put into this?
And what, you know, we need a site, we need a nursery, we need some place to bring trucks into and trailers. And do I want to buy two trucks or three trucks, you know? And then in the wintertime, those four trucks or three trucks sit there and just rust for 4 months and they'll make any money.
Yeah.
So I think the hardest part after about four years, it was the growing, is knowing how to grow and knowing when to grow. So we've always run. We've been running pretty lean.
Yeah.
I mean, we really have. And to this day, we do that. You know, not to try and, hey, I'll just get a bunch of mini X's and skid steers. You know, I mean, today we have, you know, five skids and a bunch of mini X's and Vermeers. I mean, also equipment.
Yep.
But early on, it was just guys in a round point shovel and a rake,
yeah.
You know, and it was just elbow grease and just get after it, you know, and then go rent equipment at a rental place if you needed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was, to me, the difficult part was going from having like four or five guys, say true crews or five or six, to go into where we're at now with 50, you know, to get there is, I think Jamie would agree, is the hardest thing. And what makes it easy is hiring good people.
Yeah.
And that's honestly, you know, I'm fast forwarding here, maybe some of your questions.
Secret sauce. Yeah.
That is the secret sauce. That is the key to success, is surround yourself with good people. 100%.
That has been such, I mean, I'm sure people know that, but just truly, like, that is the consistent message we hear from all of our business interviews.
People. Yeah.
And you do hear that, but I don't know if people really understand, especially when you're starting a new business, how important that really is.
Mm-hmm.
So was that a major key to the success of your growth, was just having the right people?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I look back at all the, you know, we have a lot of guys that are working, been with us for 15 plus years.
Yeah.
You know, we're in our 26th year of business and
27th.
Yeah. Thanks. Good math. I've been doing this for like 36 years. Holy cow.
That's why you don't do the numbers.
Exactly. Stick with drawing circles, right? Oh, holy cow. But no, it really is. I mean, I think of you know, it makes it so nice where Jamie and I can kind of, frankly, come and go as we please, you know, and enjoy the fruits of our labor over the years, because we have, I think, a great staff that has the same interest and understand the culture that we've created and keep building on it. So that's been, it's really good. I can't even name names because it's not like it's one or two people.
Right.
It's from our design sales staff to, you know, a gal that waters our plant material in the nursery, to, you know, everyone has a role, you know, and if I always say, hey, if, you know, like I'll use Rochelle, if she's not watering the plants, keeps them alive, you guys don't have any plants to take to the job site, so your job doesn't matter. So everyone has a role or a place within the company. And if you don't if everyone doesn't meet it, you know, meet that, we're in trouble.
So, well, we call them a heritage family because it really is. They're just like our family to us. Our general manager has been with us, and he is so invaluable. There's nothing, I mean, he handles everything when we're away, everything, every day. And he came to us as a production worker, as a crew guy, you know, back in the day. And that's one of the things that we think is the most rewarding being owners of the company is seeing the young people come in, start working for us, get married, buy homes, have a family, the kids come in, you know, and I mean, that's just so awesome to look back and see, you know, how many of those guys.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
So let me ask you this, because it's the most important part, I think, of probably running a business. I mean, that's the theme, right?
Yeah.
How do you keep good people? Because I think that's the other struggle that especially like small and growing businesses go through is you find these amazing people.
Yeah.
And then if you lose them, it's just a real struggle. And if you have
training is expensive.
Our theme is really respect for one another. Like you said, we treat everybody, you know, like he was talking about Rochelle, everybody is not any better than anybody else that works for us. And just the respect that we have for them. And then they have respect for us too, because we get in and we work and do things right alongside them. And just that we care about them. We care about their family and try to be flexible. They know, you know, we've only got 8 months to make a living. Yeah. There's only so much time off that we can have, you know, but we try to be flexible and work with them.
Yeah, if somebody comes, you know, one of our employees comes up and says, hey, my son has a soccer game at 2 o'clock. Well, it's not, you go, you know, go and then make up for it somewhere down the line that fits maybe in your schedule, you know, as far as, you know, I mean, customer or whatever it might be. So it's, I think if you're happy at home and your family and raising your kid, you know, you bring that same atmosphere
100%.
Or what I want to say,
attitude.
Thank you. Yeah. You got the same attitude to work. And if you don't, you know, as much time as you spend at work, if you don't enjoy it there. So I think we try and create, you know, I mean, we're not any different than anybody else. You know, we, you know, as far as landscape companies, you know, we're playing the dirt the same way, playing the same equipment. So what makes you different, I think, is your staff and how you treat them. And
they like each other. I mean, they do. They like to hang out together. There's a good group.
Yep.
They really like each other and they like to hang out together and work together. And we, you know, we also try to take their safety in concern and get the good equipment and the good, you know, invest in them too, and not just in, you know, in the company themselves.
How many total employees do you guys have now?
Close to 50.
Close to 50.
No, I think we did probably, you know, that hot week we had. Remember, it was hotter than heck for like 3 days.
Yeah, like 90 degrees, you know, or something. Yeah.
Guys, that's just like, that's way too early. You know, your body's not ready for that stuff. And that, you know, we don't do this enough. We should probably do it more. But we had like a food truck come in on Friday. After guys done with work. And come in, enjoy that. Got 4 cases of beer. I'm going to have some beers and that. Just little events like that. Yeah, I'm not supposed to say it out loud.
No, that's all right.
Delete that part.
I don't think that's unique to you.
Everybody only had 2 beers, and we checked them for, we gave a breathalyzer before they left.
There you go. You're covered.
Some are good?
They were non-alcoholic.
Just make sure your insurance company's not listening.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Just team building, because what's hard for us is a lot of guys are in groups of 2 or 3. You know, they'll jump, and this crew will go work on these different jobs. And a lot of times some of these guys don't even get to know a lot of the guys that are work because we're getting so big. And I want everyone to get to know each other. So another thing we do too is we also have a TV by our where you punch in the morning box that just constantly scrolls jobs that we're doing, finished projects. And it's just an endless scroll of cool projects. And guys will go like, oh, who did that? We'll go, Francisco did that. Or like, you know, Drew did that or whatever. And this way other guys can see what the other guys are doing out there. And we do that on our website and stuff like that. Because, you know, I want our guys to be proud of the work that they're doing and let the other guys show them that, hey, damn, Drew knows
what he's
doing.
It's a little bit of competition,
too. Or Frank, you know, Franco or Josh. Yeah. You know, it's all the form. Exactly.
Get some respect of
each
other.
It does. That, man, I didn't know he was capable of doing that type thing. Yeah. So that is, and again, back to competition. Yeah. I love that part of it where these guys kind of compete with each other saying, well, my job's cooler than yours, you know?
Yeah.
So it's fun having a group that respects each other. And another thing that's been neat, too, is we've had a lot of guys that have maybe left us and went to go work in different fields, go off welding, go off do something else, and had even recently two or three people, and then come back and come to work for us.
Yeah.
That makes my general, all of us, makes me happy saying, hey, we must have been doing something right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That we create an atmosphere that they want to come back and work in. And so we just got to try and have, you know, have a competitive wage. That's the obvious one.
Yeah.
Right. Be,
you know
that's
what I mean?
That's the one you can find on Google, right?
Correct.
Yeah. You got to have a wage that is competitive. But I think the interesting thing is to get good people, you have to have good people. Mm-hmm. You have to be good people.
Yeah.
And that I think is something that sometimes maybe corporations don't always realize. It's like, well, what are the benefits? What are the things? And that's all important.
It is.
But it's, you spend so much time with the people you work for and work with.
Mm-hmm.
That's just as important, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
So talk to me about the clients you have. So you talked about commercial, residential. Mm-hmm. What sort of, who do you serve? And talk
both.
A little bit more
I would
about
say,
that.
I mean, we serve both. But I would say, you know, the backbone of who we are is the residential end of it. And the commercial we got into years ago, you know, today, even today, is just more or less is to, you know, kind of visibility, you know, seeing right. your, you know, signs and advertising and stuff like that. But the commercial end of it really on it is the bread and butter, is what we enjoy.
Residential.
Yeah. The residential.
We knew what you meant.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The residential end of it. And that's what we enjoy doing. I mean, you know, look, when we first started, I mean, projects from, you know, $500 jobs to over $1 million projects. I mean, we've gone to
over
that.
Over $1 million?
Yeah. We've done
so commercial.
Yeah. And that's commercial projects. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and there's several, it doesn't, the size isn't, is the size of the job.
More of what you enjoy.
Exactly. And I look down the street. I mean, jobs that we've done up and down the street, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think of Western Illinois, I think of River Drive and Moline, of all the projects we've done along on that River Drive.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, the bend down there, all that stuff, and WIU campus.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
Schwieber Park years ago. I go back 20 years or more.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, that's what's enjoyable to me also, is to drive by projects that we've done 20, 25 years ago, and that still look good,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, or that you just kind of remember them in some of the background of those projects. So.
Do you have a favorite?
A favorite project.
Yeah.
Frankly, I like doing myself, and I'll probably speak for other, you know, other design sales guys that we have, is the residential's hands down the most fun.
Yeah.
Because you build relationships.
Yeah.
It's fun working with them. And then also, if you do a great job, they tell their friends, they entertain,
sure.
they come over, it yeah. snowballs. And that's
well, you're kind of building an experience when you're doing
absolutely, yeah.
Because you guys do a lot of the grills and the outdoor living area, patios, and so yeah, that stuff's fun.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like a lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
You're
it
providing
is.
Yep. a lifestyle
yeah.
for someone.
And,
yeah.
And COVID is kind of fast forwarded a lot of that, frankly.
Oh, I bet.
Well, I was
yeah.
going to
yeah.
ask you guys.
Absolutely.
I mean, your industry. Didn't feel the same effects as others in terms of COVID.
It was
crazy. So how do you react to that? I mean, I know it's been 2 years now since it started.
Unfortunately, we were blessed by that time of with COVID and the demand was still there and even more.
It was tricky when we first started because
you didn't know what to do.
You know, when they said that we were essential business at that point, then Troy actually knows a lot of the owners of the other companies and stuff, and they actually all got on a call and they're all talking about the mental aspect of it, you know, like for the employees and for the customers, how are they going to feel if we say, oh yeah, we're ready just to keep going, because nobody knew anything what was going on at
that
time.
It was a
scary time.
It was a weird time for that first week,
you know, week or two especially.
Yeah.
So Troy actually got on the phone and they all decided, you know, let's sit back and let's take some time a little bit and see. It was right around Easter and see how things, usually by then, you know, we're going pretty hard, but everybody waited 2 to 3 weeks. And then once everybody kind of had a little more of an understanding what was going on, knew that being outside was not as dangerous and then everyone's like, okay, let's go ahead and go. And we had talked to some of our old, you know, past customers and said, how would you feel, you know, if we came, if we didn't come inside and we were outside. And so a lot of the meetings were through doors, you know, and we also, that's when we really ramped up our 3D software. And we did a lot of 3D software, and we would just send emails back and forth and had one less meeting, and then they could see it all, and it worked out, you know, really well. And we're actually still using a lot of those same
Yeah, because usually a lot of times before you work a project, you have an initial meeting with a customer, walk around, get their input, get their ideas, go back, design something up. Then you set a second meeting to meet with them at the house again, sit down at the kitchen table, wherever, present it, walk around the house, and go through it. Well, COVID eliminated that second meeting.
Yeah.
And everything had become more or less, you know, a 3D or design, and emailing it. Let them look at it on their own time and then talk about it over the phone, because COVID, nobody wanted to meet in person. So it eliminated a step in there, and it just fast forwarded everything for us. The sales numbers jumped up.
That it worked out very well for the customer too. They had time to look at it at their own time and talk about it. And then
come up with
the questions
that they had.
And the software that a lot of, you know, other companies and us use, there's such neat software out there nowadays that really takes the guesswork out of it. And that helped a lot.
It's funny you brought that up. That was a question I was going to ask earlier, is like, your early days, you were probably drafting on pencil and paper, graph paper. How has it changed?
It was onion skin. You know what, like tracing paper?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna date myself here real quick. Yeah.
What about when you were 10?
We would run, I would take it on this like see-through paper. I would draw with a pencil.
Yeah.
I would take it to City Blueprint, and they would print it with the old ammonia printers that you guys probably aren't talking about. No,
remember coloring?
Yeah, and it would be an actual blueprint. And then I would use color pencils and markers, and I'd color it up. I'd be up till
it's very artistic.
2 a.m. coloring a plan. And then you go back and present it, and they'd want to change like a third of it, and you have to go back and revise the whole thing. Or tell you, it's just clicking buttons, you know. And I'm looking at these younger guys, I have them going, you have no idea what I used to have to go through. You know, they're just clicking buttons and changing around. So yeah, it's amazing how
technology's changed.
It just made things so much faster. You know, you come back from your meetings, and on my spindle, I'd have like 50 phone messages. Now, you know, obviously you'd get a text, email, and it's all gone and done. So. Yeah, times have definitely changed, but
Markers smell when you're coming down in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the Sharpie really strong. I'm like, are you alive down there?
Did you ever get the urge to just do one old school style?
No. I'm done. No, that ship sailed.
That's
the only one.
Yeah.
No, I've done that enough. I turned the page on that.
So do you feel like, obviously, it's more efficient than what you've done during COVID, so you're kind of continuing to do that. Do you feel like it's still improving to speed up the process, even though we're kind of, I don't want to say out of it because it's still going on, but you know, I feel like a lot of companies, especially the ones that have been really successful during this pandemic, have sort of kept with the trends that happened at the beginning. So
pushed you to evolve, maybe. Maybe it was coming anyways, but you had to go faster.
And we also split up that before we would have everybody come in the morning at 6:30.
Yep.
And because of COVID, we split up the times so we didn't have everybody together at the same time. So we've kept that too. We have two different beginning times now, you know, where it's not as many there at once.
Yeah, we did it for COVID and at the same time, you know, to have, you know, 40, 50 some people starting at the same time was, you know, 3 or 4 skidsters running around, all these trucks. It was just getting dangerous. It was a point where it was just a safety issue. So we, you know, at the same time, we looked at COVID. Hey, if one group gets, let's say, COVID sick, we can isolate them. We still at least have half the company that we can keep productive and working, and those guys wouldn't have to take the 10-day, you know, chill time. So it was that, but so it's helped us learn some new things and new procedures. You know, it's been good. I mean, in respects, we've learned a lot from it. And the guys have been, you know, they're very receptive to it. They really were. I mean, you know, when we said, okay, guys, hey, first thing, you walk here in the morning, boom, you go right to the wash station, you wash your hands, everything, everyone punches in, wear a mask in the truck. When you get out of the truck, take your mask off. I mean, everyone was very considerate of each other. And I don't think we had, but other, maybe at sometimes 2 or 3 guys that might've been out at one time. It wasn't like all of a sudden we lost 20 people, what I mean, at one time. So we were, you know, and the scary part about it is a lot of our employees might have some of their parents and stuff that live with them at their house, you know, like bigger families. Mm-hmm. And you're, you know, back then you're kind of concerned, okay, I don't want my employees thinking they get COVID from us at Heritage and then taking it home.
Yeah.
You know, so we were.
Yeah. Feels like so long ago.
It does feel like a long time ago, thank goodness.
We're good to put it behind.
I feel like it's always an interesting topic though, because everybody went through it. And so to see what some of the really successful businesses that came out of it, what they did and how they just, because I think we've talked about this a lot. When you own a business, you are constantly, if you're not evolving, then you're probably you're not growing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you constantly have to take, okay, here's a new opportunity or here's a new challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not ready for this. It's kind of like when
there
you
was no
started
time for
it.
COVID.
There's no good time nobody had for, no. And I think that that's such an important thing because people are always sort of waiting for the right moment or, you know, oh, we're not ready for this. But the really successful businesses really just are like, okay, we'll figure it out. Yep, we'll do it.
And another key thing is listening to the younger people. We have Kyle, our son now is starting in a business and he's going to be doing that. And to be able to listen to him and go, okay, yeah, we're old school. Some of the stuff we need to get rid of. He's like, why do you have so much paper? And I'm like, so, I mean, there's a lot of really good things that we get from our general manager, for sure. He's younger and our son coming in and a lot of, and the foreman and everybody. They just, it's a different, obviously we're in our 50s. So it's a just to be able to listen to the younger generation and listen with an open mind and make some changes is important too.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go backwards on us a little bit here because when was that? You did the math, but I'm not good at math either. Apparently. So the initial starting year of the business was what?
95.
And a couple years of really design work with subbing out the work.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay, and then you bring on some of your own crews thereafter, I assume.
Correct, yeah. We start buying our own trucks and start bringing our own employees, and then we're more or less a design build, you know, all under one umbrella.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then what was the nursery the next evolution, or was there something in the middle?
We had two different
there,
sites. At one time, we first started off at our house, like I said, and then we rented and worked out of a facility off of out the Pasco Valley.
Okay. Turf.
Yep.
You know where? Well, it's about Montgomery Elevator, Kone.
Yeah.
Excuse me. There was that big steel building there, so we used to work
on
there.
On Route 6. Yeah.
Yep. On Route 6.
We rented that.
And then this property that we have now, we've got our 10-acre site, which we have our nursery at, and our storage units that are also there. And that was when did we purchase those? Those lots. I don't remember. Is it 2002?
Three.
2002-3. That was a big growth for us. That was big. And then at the same time, our office up on 41st Street was just an old beat up. I mean, I can't always work. Well, it was a beat up shitty house. It was one of those. But again, it was just one of those location, like a realtor would say. 41st Street, tons of people driving up and down it. Exactly. Yeah. And I said, hey, let's, gut this place, make it into an, design build office. Yeah. Get our name out there, nice signage, and that was another big hurdle.
That's right,
I think
at the same time we did that before the nursery.
So we did that, and that really opened up like, wow, who's this company, and that the phones really started ringing off because we had that visibility much more. That was a big growth spurt for us, and then it just seemed like we went from. Three crews to five crews, and then it was eight crews, and then to 10, and then, now we're running 15, 16 crews, and it just kept compounding itself,
Sure.
So
is the nursery something that sets you guys apart from your competitors? Not every landscaping company has a nursery. So talk us through that a little
bit. Well, as far as a nursery, it's not, quote unquote, a nursery. A nursery is something where you're growing plant material. But like our industry's kind of evolved too, in that the industry, as in the landscape industry, years ago, you would have a company, it would be a company that would actually grow it, dig it, sell it, and then maintain it, all that stuff. Something that's new and exciting for us in bringing up is we've a year ago unveiled, we haven't really ended up too much to doing the swimming pool. So we've started doing installation of in-ground pools, some really just really unique kind of, not just a simple 4-foot concrete apron around it, but doing like the stone coping, something you'd see like in Florida or Arizona or whatever. So that's been a lot of fun. And Kyle's has kind of head that up quite a bit. We've got a great crew that's been very experienced and taken on that challenge. And that's opened up some doors for us and some really, really neat, exciting projects.
I bet you can do some really cool. I mean, with all of landscaping, you can do some really amazing things. But with pools, too, I would think that there are some really fun ways to... Yeah.
The property that goes along with pools is usually larger, so you have a little more of a, you know, space to be able to create some things, I think, with the pools. A little more of an outdoor area. Yeah. But with the on the financing side with the plants and things at the nursery, that is one of the things that is tricky for landscape companies is they only dig certain times of the year, so you have to get those plants in. Either you have a spring and a fall dig. So on, you know, as far as my role and everything, that's where the line of credit comes in very well at the beginning, because they still need to live and work on their end. So there's a 30-day term on those plants, and you don't use them for probably 6 months sometimes.
Oh, that's a really good point.
In a business,
inventory.
Yes,
it's very heavy
at the beginning to be able to get all the inventory, get everything in there, and before customers are even done with their project. So the cash flow is not happening very much at the beginning of the spring. So
now, do you know what projects you're going to get? Because I feel like this is always a hard thing for any sort of retail type businesses. How do you do the inventory, right? Sometimes you know what you're going to spend and sometimes you don't. So do you guys have, like, you know what projects you're going to have, or sometimes it's just sort of a gamble?
It's just kind of based on history.
You can forecast a little bit of what you're going to have, but also at the same time, you know, some of the, like, larger commercial jobs that might have several trees and plants on it, we might bid on that, let's say, sometime in, you know, the fall, like, you know, October, November, December, and you land the job and it's not going to go because we're going to be one of the last ones on a job. So they might have five, six months of construction. We know we have that 5-6 month period of time to order and get that plant material. So we can order it in the fall and have it ready for spring install. So, and we know what those plants are because we obviously know what we had bid and the quantities and stuff. So bigger commercial projects, we have an idea.
So those are a little easier to get inventory for, but your residential projects.
Just based on history, I think, go through past, after a few years, you know, oh, I should have ordered more of those, should have ordered more of those, you know,
and you can. Well, you have enough scale that at least you have some, well, and you've been doing it a long time.
So you know a little bit
of what to expect.
And I would say it's easier to get it because you don't want to advance. And I'm not going to speak for Justin because Justin orders a lot of the plant material.
He's a general manager.
It's a pain in the ass for him. It really is to try and find a lot of different suppliers, what they have available, what they don't have available.
Yep.
You're trying to get the best pricing, you know, on that. Shipping becomes a role, get it shipped here. Man. Timing of getting it here. There's a lot of moving parts that until you've done the job and wear that hat, it's not. I mean, I wore that hat real early on in business and realized how much I hated it. Couldn't wait to hire someone to do that job, you know. So it's a tough spot to be in. And today it's even harder because the availability, the demand is so high, and the availability is tough to find.
You can't just make more plants. It
takes time. That is hard, and you have to be really organized, and you have to learn from every year. There's always, you know, those growing pains. So I get that.
It's a huge overhead item, as you can tell, and it's probably the most difficult part, you know. And it's, you know, at the same time when the temperatures are 9,500 degrees outside, and you have maybe at times, you know, 300,000-400,000 hours worth of plant material sitting out there, you know, and you're hoping that a tornado doesn't blow through your nursery, or that your well doesn't break down, or that, you know, you don't, the people that are watering over the weekend that we rely on, which is a great staff, that all of a sudden, you know, you leave on Friday and you hope I show up on Monday and it's not all dead because if they didn't show.
It can go fast.
See, a lot of things that, you know, you kind of think you want to assume, but there's a lot of responsibilities that we put in a lot of people that if they're not showing do their job, you can show up Monday morning. And it's happened years in the past where there's a lot of shriveled up dead plants.
That's all money you have spent.
And some jobs you can't go to because you don't have that plant that you have sold. So you have to kind of regroup on it a little bit. So, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts with the inventory. And we found it to be that's what separates us from a lot of other design build landscape companies, is because we have a great menu, I think, of different types of plant material and nice plant material. We try and buy from some of the nicest nurseries in the country and bring them in. So I think that's, we have a lot of existing customers that come and, you know, visit the nursery and grab stuff. Now, we're not a retail place.
Yeah.
I don't want to be.
Yep.
You know, we're not set up for that. We don't have the staffing for that. Yep. We don't want to be a Lowe's, nothing like that whatsoever. But we want our customer base to feel welcome. Hey, you know, come check us out, you know, and if you want to buy, you know, get an extra plant or two.
Get some ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see what you like and what you don't. Because if you're someone like me, I'd have to see it to really know.
Yeah, that's a good point, Elisa. We have a lot of times we'll come up with a plan, ideas, and you can give pictures of plants. Mm-hmm. You know, different than like a red swimsuit, right?
No, right.
I can give you a picture of the swimsuit.
So different.
But touching that swimsuit's a lot different. Yep. And the same with touching a plant. You want to see it, you want to touch and feel it, what you're going to buy.
Yep.
And it's the exact same concept. And we also like to have people sometimes come to our nursery, especially like trees and bigger plant material, higher ticket items. I want them to pick it out. Mm-hmm. I want them to tag it. So this way, when we show up to their house, they know exactly what they're getting. That people love that also. Customers love that. They know what they're getting before it shows up on the truck.
Yeah.
And I bet they really appreciate that because you can't return a planted tree.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, actually, I don't like that.
You know what? If they don't like it, we will. We've done that.
Take it back out.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the things that sets you apart. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, it's nice that you have them come in. And it's those little things I found, especially, you know, as we're talking to businesses and doing a couple small businesses myself, it's the little things that really make a difference, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and with the bank, right? I mean, it's the same thing. It's all the little
same
things
with you guys
that
you... It's the customer service. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of companies talk about it. And that's part of the reason why, frankly, I wanted to leave and Jamie, I wanted to leave and start up our own business because there's things we wanted to do. I wanted to do differently and with taking care of customers and Jamie's line, the golden rule, you know, treat people like how you want to be treated type thing. And that's who we are, you know, and it's been fun in making sure when you go to like, you walk grocery store, you go different places through town, and that you're not scared to walk up to somebody, you know, because, oh my gosh, I wonder if we did a good job for them or if we didn't. I feel comfortable that we did, because if we didn't, I know we're going to make it right. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel comfortable that I feel like we're going to make it right. And
you know, that's a great point. Because, if you don't run it properly, you do get...
It's a small community.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, say you make one person mad, and they tell 10 people. Oh, yeah. That's that whole rule. And it'll work.
It's very true.
That happens.
There's
some
truth
to
that. Absolutely. So I was going to go into the family dynamic, because this is a family business.
Mm-hmm.
You guys obviously being married, like, I would say from the outside looking in, you guys are very good at, you stay in your own lanes, but how do you make this work for 20 plus years being spouses and running a business together?
Know our lane. Did I beat you to that? I think I beat her to that one.
His side of the job does require a lot more hours. And I was able to, I could not work the amount of hours that he has to work and have a family. I mean, you have to have somebody who can pick the kids up when they need to be picked up and get, you know, that kind of, and that's what's been nice.
Get them fed. You know, some of the things that you got to do as a parent.
Yeah. And, you know, Troy was able to coach and do a lot of things over the years, too, with the flexibility, which was wonderful. But it's just, I don't think we both could have worked that intensely at the job and had a family. But as far as us getting along at work, as long as he...
Stay in my lane
and try not to tell them what to do landscaping, and
I would say, I mean, just from being around you guys, that's something you guys seem to really do well.
So. Yeah, the winter gets a little challenging for him because he's used to working a lot. So
you're too close of contact.
We try to send him on a little vacation.
Now, what happens in the winter is, first of all, we're a really good team. Like I think I said it earlier, you know, the things that I despise doing or not good at doing, she is, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So that's how we know our lanes a little bit. But at the same time, we're also able to talk and communicate and discuss, like, hey, why did you do this? And she'll explain it, and I'll do the same thing. And, you know, like any other business partners, which is weird.
I was just going to say the same thing.
You butt heads once in a while. But, you know, we have total respect for each other on what each one of us do and get it. And it's obviously been successful for over the years. So at the same time, I don't second guess what she does. I mean, okay, great. I don't understand why you're doing it that way, but go for it. You know, and she does the same thing on our end, you know.
And sometimes with me, I come from the customer standpoint. I'll kind of be like, okay, if that was me, you know, because sometimes they stay in there. It's hard for them to see it. The designer's on their end.
Yeah. Well, you're in it.
They're just going,
and
And I'll be like, wait a minute. If you present that to me, because I don't know anything about trees. Yeah. I know nothing about landscape. So I can say, okay, I would need a little more help here.
Yeah.
I would need to see, you know.
That's good advice for any industry. I think we do that in banking sometimes. Yeah. We like just assume you know the acronyms and everything else. And it's like, whoa, hold on. Hold on a second.
Wait a minute. Yeah. No, but it works out.
All right, so now keep it in the family theme. I know you guys have a son now that is working at the business.
And
obviously, maybe early in that process, but how do you bring a son into a business and, you know, what the family dynamic of maybe going generation to generation, if that's the goal even, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the goal.
You know, and it's weird how it happened. It was never... Yeah, you know, it wasn't like we were trying to groom any of our kids to be it. We never pushed them in that direction. It was actually we never even thought it would. Frankly, thought it would even happen. You know, we never even thought it would go in that direction. And you know, Kyle came to he and I were out in Arizona. I don't forget this. I think it was at a spring training game with my dad and some discussion out there, and said, you know, he was in Chicago at that time and working for Otis Elevator Company. Great, awesome job and doing very well. And I think he often mentioned that he had some interest in wanting to come back to go to work for us. And that was kind of like a wow.
It's going to be a proud moment as a dad.
I would think,
It was. It was a kind of a tearjerker moment away. But at the same time, it was like, whoa, hey, wait a minute.
I'm not that old yet.
It wasn't even that, but it wasn't like it was like part of the, you know, it just wasn't part of the succession plan at that time.
Yeah.
That Jamie and I already had kind of thought up in our mind and other things like that. But so it changed things around a little bit. But Kyle's been good in that, okay, great, but understand, you know, you got a great degree from Illinois and you got this cool job and where you're working now, you're going to come back and you're going to put on your blue jeans, yellow t-shirt, and you're going to work on a crew. So if you're going to come back with us, one, you need to earn the respect from all, and he worked there in the summertime, so a lot of the guys knew him. So it wasn't like he was
not fresh.
But and you got to come back and earn respect from everybody and learn the business from ground floor up. And to fast forward 5 years now.
It's been that long? Five years?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He's done that, and he gets along great, I think, with everybody. And he's still learning. God, he's got a lot to learn. And there's a lot of good guys, you know, like Justin, our sales staff, and like that, that are, I think, work well with him, that are teaching him. Yeah. And he's learning from them. And he's bringing a lot of cool stuff to the table, too.
Yeah.
He's excited about the swimming pool thing.
Yeah.
Frankly, it's a lot of it's him.
And the 3D, he did the 3D design, and he didn't even go to school for it. You know, he just took the time and it's kind of funny how he's trying to figure out which role. You know, he started thinking, oh, I'm going to be doing the design sales and all that, and he's like, oh yeah, I don't have that vision.
Yeah.
You know, I can. He's very good at the communicating and the project management and all that kind of stuff. But to do the designs himself on the larger projects, he's like, you know, and I really am interested in the business side. And I like your. And I said, well, then you just make it your own. You know, so who knows how that'll end up at the end.
But it's good.
He does so many things right now and works a ton of hours. And but he's learning the business from every aspect of it.
Well,
so,
and that's the key right there.
Yeah,
and I know you guys do the same. I know Troy especially. Like one of the things that earning respect, I'm sure, is not being afraid to go out and pick up a shovel every once in a while.
Oh yeah, Troy still does.
I like it.
But that goes a long way with your team too.
It does. But the bottom line is you know you have to. I use the line I think when Kyle first mentioned it to me is I go okay that's fine understand I can't give you like I can give you the first and the first year and the 3 year outlook after that we'll talk about it. But the first 3 years, you're going to be doing this.
Yeah.
And you're going to make a huge pay cut from where you're working. I mean, huge. Yeah. And you're going to come back, and there might be this light at the end of the tunnel, but it's way
the hell out
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you're going to earn it because your mom and I worked our asses off to get here, and I'm not that silver spoon guy. We're not just going to hand it to you and say, hey, good job. Yeah.
Well, no. Let's be honest. You wouldn't be as successful if you did that.
No.
Right? Yeah. Because you really have to understand it all.
Well, again, back to it's also – that there is such a, and you're now going to become a team member of such a very incredible group of men and women that we have at our company. And I've seen a lot of companies ruined.
Oh yeah.
Frankly, because a family member comes on and destroys the company.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't say that loud, but it's true.
That's why we talk about the family aspect.
It does. It can happen. I mean, these are the
things,
a lot.
These are the things we run into working with family businesses all the time. And then the other aspect that I have some familiarity with is when you talk about, you know, you're not going to be given it. You got two other kids too. So it's
good
like,
yeah.
I'm not going to create a business and hand it over to you and your other, our other
not
two
like
kids
work
forget
work.
About
yeah.
you guys.
Right.
You know, so that's hard too. Cause I don't think your other two kids are not involved.
No interest at all.
Oh,
yeah. No.
No.
You know, exactly. You don't work 30 some years of your life and just say, hey, here's this.
Yeah, it's a tough.
Go screw it away. You know, no, it's not going to work.
No, but he is working very, very hard.
He's doing very good. I use the example back to the sports now, just because, again, being a sports guy like you and Kyle being involved, I says, this is going to be just like when I coached you through sports when I was harder on you than anybody on the team.
Yeah.
And I go, this is going to be the same way. And I says, at work, my name is Troy. It's never Dad, and he's great about it.
It's hard to do.
It's hard
to
and
it,
like
yeah.
he does. I mean, he does incredible. I don't know how he does it because it blows me away. But we have it's a working relationship, and then we have a dad, you know, father son relationship, and it's I'm very proud of him for that. He's what's cool about him. He's got a lot of her personality in him that he's cool, calm. And collective, and he works great with people. I'm too little high strung, and he calms me, and the things that he likes to do, he's learning, and he's just really up for the challenge. But he's also, again, when you're that the coach and you're the kid on the team, and I'm gonna be harder on you than anybody else in the team, because I don't. If you're gonna play, you got to. Everyone needs to know that you're good enough to play, and not just because you're the coach's son.
Yeah.
That's what
I sent my 5.5-year-old T-ball player to the dugout last week on our team because he was pouting in that outfield. So I haven't done that to any other T-baller yet.
Well, I used to do that to our kids too. And I come home at night, she goes, why did you send Kyle to the dugout? Why did you take him out of the lineup? Because he was pouting. He goes, well, everybody is. And I go, but Kyle's not going to.
No,
or Ryan or Ashley's not going to.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. I can relate.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. It's tough to do, but at the end, it pays off.
Yeah.
It pays off. So now it's fun having him on, and I think he's always, I know, wanting to earn the respect of his the guys at work and his peers, and he's getting he always got to build on that. Mm-hmm. You know, he's gonna keep building on that, and so it's been
that's
fun.
Cool, fun thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I think that's amazing, by the way. But I'm going to change it up a little bit because we've been taking a lot of your time here. But I'm a marketing, or that's marketing, branding, that's my thing. You guys have grown an amazing amount. Mm-hmm. Talk to us because business is that's the struggle, right? Is to grow. You don't survive if you don't grow. So talk to me about how you did that. Is it word of mouth? Is it you put out social media? What do you do to continue your growth? What have you done in the past? I think that's always an interesting conversation.
I think a lot of it is word of mouth. Start and doing excellent work, number one. I mean, you just
so when you first started,
you
already had clients that were like, I'm going to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
So you already had that basic.
You started off that way. So there's some word of mouth. Another thing that you don't really realize, and our salespeople are finding that out now that they're getting into schools, and once you get into school, it's the relationships that you build. I mean, when we're in the school, when my kids started in school, we were in the Moline School District. And so there's a lot of relationships you build just being, you know, meeting other parents and doing other things and then volunteering and kids being on sports teams. And then there's other community people. So I think that's a big thing too, or just relationship building mm-hmm. that you do. And then we, you know, built up just general marketing, advertising. We did a lot with, Jim Hubach from KWQC for years. He was a great guy. He's retired
like commercials
now, but did some commercials, visual, because it's a very visual company. So we did a lot of commercials. And then we worked with MediaCom a lot, and we do a lot on there where you can specifically target, you know, so they work, and we work with some digital people, you know, we just work with a lot of, we try to keep up with whatever is the
I was going to say, because that's ever-changing, right?
I did a lot with that at the print bank, back too. In the day, you know, there's tons of print, tons of, you know, and I don't do any print anymore at all, you know, a lot of sponsorships, you know, we like to sponsor, we like to do a lot in the community and try to help youth groups. And, you know, we try to focus mainly on kids and sponsoring different things that involve kids more than anything, I guess.
Well, we're down last night. We went down to Little League. We had time to blow.
Yeah,
and watch our little heritage.
I was down there.
We went to watch our little heritage team down there.
Yeah, you know?
And they won, by the way.
Yeah, so, but it is. I mean, it's those kind of relationships. And then we just try to keep up with the trends of marketing. And we've had some very good, like I said, representatives in the media that have been able to kind of steer us those direct way and just kind of tell us. I have faith in them. After I build that relationship with them, I'm kind of like, okay. Just bring my reports to me, everyone smile, tell me, you know, that we're doing good.
We are, and Jimmy said it, but emphasizing that it's we're such a visual industry. And it's once we do a project, whether it's a small little patio or landscape, people talk. Mm-hmm. And they'll ask, who did your project?
Yeah, and they have parties and correct. People come over.
And, then the next thing is, out of their mouth is they'll ask those people, so how was your experience with XYZ company? Mm-hmm. And that's where you either grow or you when you fold up your tent and go home. You know
it
what I mean?
So difference.
It makes the big difference.
We've had an intern the past couple summers, which is nice. Like I said, we realize that we are not up with the current at our age, you know, compared to what the 20-year-olds are with technology and stuff. So we've had a great intern. He was here with us last year, and now we've got him back this year, and he's doing a great job. So that makes a difference, too. And you have just younger people that understand newer technologies and things like that. So,
well, and I do think, I mean, marketing is so important, right? I mean, I'm in that world. But I will say that the branding and what you do and how you do it is beyond that, right? You have to have that as your base, because when people have parties and they've had a good experience and someone says, wow, it looks amazing out here, they're going to want to say, yeah, Heritage came and did this for me. Mm-hmm. They were great to work with. Yeah. You can't buy that from, you know, any sort of commercial. And you have to do all of it, right? You have to do all of the marketing and all of that. Mm-hmm. But that's your basis that you go off of.
Well, people want to feel safe choosing somebody.
Yes.
It's like a review, you know, that you're always reading a review, even if you buy a shirt, you buy anything, you want to feel safe that if I'm going to spend this kind of money and put this kind of time into it, I want to make sure somebody's had a good experience before me and I'm not making a bad decision. You know?
Yeah, look at it as the product that you're purchasing from us. You know, it's like, you know, you look at a house, you look at then buying like, you know, big product, like a boat, or you look at buying this, that landscaping isn't cheap in a lot of places.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're putting a deck on or a patio. People are spending, you know, thousands of dollars.
Investing in their lifestyle.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, and to gain the trust of someone to write a check, you know, for 10 grand, 20 grand, you know, and the numbers keep climbing, you have to, you know, there has to be a trust there and that they trust you, that you're going to put together a nice product. So that's not the hard part. But it's the fun part of, you know, of them being able to
That's what Kyle said when he came back with Otis. He's like, okay, I was selling elevator maintenance.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted that. He said, it's just so
mandatory.
Mandatory. Yeah. You had to take it, you know. And he said, what I like about the fact that, you know, when he first was coming in, landscape is people are excited about landscaping, and it's a fun thing to sell. And I'm like, you know, it's not like, I got to buy landscaping. So that was one of the reasons
their lives,
he came back.
Right? That's something. That's a great thing to be a part of.
What's enjoyable for me is sometimes I also go in the morning. You know, we have this, you know, huge schedule board with, you know, 15, 16 crews and magnets everywhere of names of different projects, and seeing a lot of the same names you know, and it's just like another project of another project, and it's just another phase of their job.
Yeah.
And that tells me when I see like all our sales guys that have the same clientele base, and they, that might be like their family member or friend or whatever, that tells me we're doing it right.
Yeah.
That it's word of mouth, that they enjoyed the experience with us, and they want to keep building on it. And that's what we do. I see a lot of the, you know, because if you're always just, you sell them one time to this person, and then boom, you have a horrible experience and they're gone. You know, sooner or later, those people, you know, you're going to run out of those people sooner or later. You know what I mean? So we have a lot of the same names on our schedule board. And that's awesome to me. I love that. It tells me we're doing things right. And we have to keep checking ourselves. You know, we're not perfect. We screw up once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, but the bottom line is when you screw up, you got to make it right.
Right.
You don't. There's no like, oh, you know what? I'll be all right. Just now forget them.
Yeah.
No, you make it right. Because like Jamie said, you got one bad, they're going to tell 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with social media nowadays and that. You know,
my gosh.
That can explode pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, and you try and make everyone happy as much as you can. There's not everyone you can, but we try hard. You know, because it's back to your marketing thing. You know, that is where it's all at.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you have something? Okay. So we talked about the growth being your biggest challenge, but you just brought up sort of this whole social media and this whole new world. And I think businesses, we've had a couple where they struggle with that side of it. Obviously, you guys do quality work, but have you ever had any issues with sort of that part of it? I mean, how do you handle it? How do you handle, like, because again, when you start a business, you don't realize how hard it is. You get an upset customer or something. How do you make sure that it's done right? You talked about making it right. What do you do?
Most people, when they're upset about something, they just want to be heard, first of all.
Right.
And they want to make sure that you actually listen to them and take into account what they're talking about. So we make sure that even if it's with our other salesman or something, Troy will go out with them, you know, if they're having trouble explaining to them. And we make sure that, number one, we listen to them, and we normally make it right. You know, we make them
feel...
Yeah, and if there's something wrong,
yeah,
we do the best we can to work with them and make sure that they feel better by the time we leave, and then we make it right. So we've not really had that many.
we haven't had
too many, but we have had a few.
You know,
do it long enough, you'll have
them. I'll use an example. Yeah. The job was a friend of my father's years ago. We built this, like, timber wall. And it was 6-7 years later after we built it, and it had some movement to it, started bowing on it. You know, our warranty, most... one company's is 2 years.
Yep.
Here it is 6 years later.
Yeah.
And they're not happy with it, this and that. And she's, what can we do? Can we do this and that? She's not, I can tell she wasn't happy. She goes, well, if you do this and that, I think we can live with it. And I hate that line of, I think we can live with it. You know, when I hear that from people, it tells me that, they're pissed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just not happy with how it ended up. And they're not going to get a good review out of it. So I remember saying this, and Justin remember the project and that. And so I said, I'll tell you what, here's the deal. We're going to come and we're going to tear it all out, and I'm going to rebuild it. Well, how much is that going to cost me? I go, it's going to cost you nothing, but here's what it's going to cost you. I said, the only thing it's going to cost you is this, is when anybody asks you and you talk to anybody that wants landscaping, you got to tell them the experience that you had here and what we did 6 years after the fact and what we, you know, and what we did. And we ate it. That's fine, but I looked at it as, Jim and I was the same way, and a lot of our staff the same way, as, you know what, great, we ate at that time there, but I think that's going to, you know, over the years, we'll get that back in additional work.
I mean, 100, we would,
you know,
treat
I mean,
it. I mean,
so,
that
it hurts. Don't be
could
wrong.
You imagine, though, if someone did that, like, if someone did that for my
husband, didn't see that
and
coming. She did not see it coming.
We would
have. No, didn't see it coming. It was a, you know, it was a bigger project. It took a week for three guys.
Yeah.
And I said, we're tearing down, we're going to put a new wall in, we're going to do a block and not timbers. How much is that going to cost me? Nothing. Other than, all I want you to do is tell the experience that you got here, and just, that's it. Bottom line. She couldn't believe it. I go, that's it.
All right. I've got one more question. So this is usually my last question. And you kind of talked about it at the beginning, but if you were to give, because I think a lot of people that listen to this are either people that are starting businesses or, you know, what is your one advice? If you're starting sort of from scratch, or you're in the middle of it, you're trying to grow, what is your one piece of advice that you would give? my biggest thing is relationships all around, and to, you know, how important your business relationships are with banks and with accountants and all those. Take the help that you need from other people. Go out and research. Get the help because they're the experts.
Yep.
You don't know everything about what's going on. Hire good people. You know, that's the big thing. And I say stay as lean and mean as you can for as long as you can. Don't get equipment poor. Don't get too heavy with people. I mean, that's what I think our accountant after the first like 3 years or so, she's like, it's okay, you can spend some money.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm like, because I was so
Easy is it when you start a business to just be like, okay, I'm gonna spend this.
Oh, yeah.
And then before you know it, you can't come out of the hole that you dug, right?
Yeah, or you have years like 2008, you know what I mean? You have to prepare for things like that. But, I mean, starting off, don't you think that's the biggest thing?
That's good.
I would say that, and more importantly, if you're married, to have a good business partner. I mean, somebody that, you know, that you can, you know, you both have the same drive, the same outlook of, you know, failure isn't an option. You know what I mean? Just stuff like that you got to know that, hey, we're going to do this 24/7. We got to try and raise a family, you know, because it makes me emotional how hard we've worked, over the years.
Well, and if I wasn't in the business with them, I would have to understand the fact that he works every night. I mean, for 30 years, he's worked every night from 8 o'clock to 11, almost every night during the spring, you know, and you have to understand that and know what's going to happen. So, you know, just.
And then you can enjoy the fruits of your labor. And I think the next thing, and I had one of my first customers, I'm not scared to say it, Darryl Reynolds, one of my first customers.
Great
first customer and great guy. And he told me years ago, I owned Bob Erickson Chevrolet. And the first thing he always told me was, he goes, surround yourself with good people. Mm-hmm. And I've never forgotten that. And that's very true. You know, hire good people, take care of them, pay them right. And hire good people and don't micromanage them. Let them do what you hired them to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know.
Oh, that's big.
Frankly,
that's really big.
Give
Nobody,
them enough. Yeah. I think give them enough rope to hang themselves. You know, a phrase that I've heard many times, and I believe that because good people don't want to be micromanaged.
No.
You know what I mean? Let me do my job. You know, and that's been hard for me a little bit because my father was the other way around. He wanted to know every doing every minute. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And so I was that kind of guy for a while. Now, frankly, I don't know
how.
I'm trying.
I'm trying.
I'm pretty good at it. But no, so I would say have a good business partner, as in your spouse, because even if, let's say Jamie worked somewhere else, if she wasn't on board with what I want to do in the business and that, it would never work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Either your marriage fails, or your business fails, or both
or
at
both.
The same time.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, and then your family's wrong. So we juggle with family, business, relationship, and it's not easy to do.
No.
It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
You talk about all the freedom you get from
rewarding.
It, but it's also a lot of work, too. Yeah.
It is. But it's been very rewarding because, again, we both got in for the right reasons. It wasn't getting into because, oh, I want to get a business because I want to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
No,
right.
That was never our discussion. It was never a discussion. It was more of want a personal freedom, I want to do it a different way. And we both had the same drive, you know? So that was a lot of why, that was a big part of it.
Well, I love that. That's great advice. Cause I think you're right. I think you have to both be on board. I mean, even with some of the small businesses that I've done, and I know at the bank, you know, talking to the senior leaders there and Lee and the trials and tribulations that they've been through, your spouse has to be there.
Lee and Jenny are great examples of what we're talking about.
Yep.
I mean, Jamie and I are similar in a lot of it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
you have
a lot
to
of
be
risk
the same.
Business.
There is
a lot of risk.
You stay up at night. I mean, that's the thing. We talk about all the great things, going to the kids, you know, baseball games and getting to do these great things and making a lot of money. But there
is
a lot of you're up at night thinking, am I going to get to pay these people? Am I going to get to make enough money, you know, especially at the beginning, maybe to pay your mortgage? Who knows?
The winters.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot. Yeah. And
there's
like you said, there's not a, if you don't, for me to finally quit my job and join, you know, full time with him, because I was working during the day, then coming home and working at night, and then, you know, that kind of thing for a while there until, but you have to make sure that you're protected, you know, with a paycheck at some point, especially at the beginning. It's not great for both of you to quit at once because, you know, it's a little fun.
So that would be my advice to somebody that's want to start a business.
I love it.
Get into it for the right reasons. Don't get in for money. Get in for a passion. You have to have a passion for whatever industry you want to get into. Mm-hmm. And then that passion maybe equates to money, you know, or, you know, working with people.
But at the least, the byproduct. You're doing something money you enjoy, right?
Yeah. Money is the byproduct of what you enjoy. You know, I got that's.
And a lot of people, customers will come up just and say, I can tell Troy just loves this every minute of it. Yeah. You know, they do, because they can just see that from Troy and our other salespeople. They can just see how excited they are and how much they love the industry. And that's important, too. So
that is great advice.
Yeah.
Great advice. A perfect thing to end on. Thank you guys so much for coming. This has been wonderful.
Welcome.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Thanks.
This interview was brought to you by Fortress Bank. Here for you when you're ready to take your business to the next level. Find out more about the way Fortress grows businesses at www.bankfortress.com.